But overall, I agree with Sean. He creates content on YouTube under Actual Justice Warrior if you want to check out his content. But what he says there is totally true.
Welcome, everyone. My name is Sean, and today we got to talk about this situation out of Douglas County, Georgia. And we're going to go over this particular judge that is getting a lot of attention as of late, a woman called Christina Peterson, because she's essentially a Tiffany A. Henyard-like figure at a judicial position in the state of Georgia. And unfortunately, her star has waned at this moment because she has been found guilty of systemic incompetence due to her unbelievable corruption at this local position. Now, we're going to get into it, but before we do, I want to thank everybody who signed up over on actualjusticewarrior.com/join.
Give me the money. Give me the money. Okay.
And remind you that on Saturday, April 27th of this year, I will be at Minds Fest. Link to tickets, top of the description, promo code AJW for 20% off.
First African-American female and Democrat. Yes.
Any publications that you're aware of that ever acknowledged that fact?
I was never celebrated or congratulated. On my day of swearing in, I was sworn in by Judge Emerson. I received my first JQC complaint.
So in order to understand this case, we have to go back to the beginning, to the origin point. But not really, we just have to define some of our terms. So Christina Peterson is a black female judge. Now, the only reason I bring up her race and sex is because, needless to say, when faced with all these allegations, she accused everybody of being racist and sexist against her. And I believe she was the first black female judge in order to get into this particular position, and she immediately, upon being elected, before she was even sworn in, claimed that the salary that was offered to her as a probate judge, don't worry, we will define that term a little bit later, was the product of systemic structural discrimination. So let's break this down really quickly so that you can understand. So there's different judicial positions that you can be elected to. A probate judge would be considered the lowest tier of those positions. Essentially, as a probate judge, you handle birth certificates, marriage licenses, wills, and whatnot, and you only deal with about 600 cases per year.
Newly elected judge in Douglas County is making waves. Even before taking office, she wants a big raise.
Probate judge-elect Christina Peterson says that she should be paid nearly twice as much as her predecessor because, unlike him, she's an attorney. But Fox 5 iTeam reporter Randy Travis discovered her duties likely won't change very much.
Now look, to be perfectly fair to Christina Peterson, that's more than two whole cases a day when you factor in weekends and holidays, so that might be a lengthy caseload for those of you who are inexperienced with the judicial process. But in comparison, the other judicial positions in the state of Georgia consistently get about 2,000 to 10,000 cases, depending on the position.
Superior Court Chief Judge David Emerson fired off this letter to commissioners, pointing out the probate judge handled far fewer cases than any other court last year, most of them the simple task of filing unchallenged wills. If someone wanted a jury trial to dispute a will, they could always appeal to a state or superior court judge.
How many times did someone demand a jury trial in probate court last year?
There were zero appeals from probate court to the state court.
And thus, they are compensated more for that particular position.
A probate judge typically does not make news. Their job is important, but mundane. Processing wills, issuing marriage licenses, and lately, handling a slew of concealed weapon permits. So should the probate judge in Douglas County be paid similar to all the other judges here? Should she be making $175,000 a year?
I'm not asking for a favor. I'm asking for you to review the facts and continue to be fair and consistent.
Christina Peterson gave it her best shot during the most recent virtual meeting of the Douglas County Commission. At the end of the month, she'll be taking over for retired probate judge Hal Hamrick. He was first elected 16 years ago when the county's population did not require the probate judge be a licensed attorney. That means Hamrick can't preside over jury trials when someone might challenge a will. The big reason why practicing attorney Peterson says the current $96,500 a year salary doesn't cut it for her.
But the thing is, that's not going to stop Christina Peterson. She said, listen, the person in my position before wasn't even an attorney prior to taking office, so I need a pay increase because it's evil, white, and racist, not to mention sexist, for you guys not to give me said pay increase. Now, the compensation, by the way, is not only limited to the salary for this particular position. position. You see, typically, the judge in this particular county, in these particular cases, is actually allowed to pocket the court fees that they assess during the course of the processes that they engage in. And in fact, the previous person in this position actually took half for himself for compensation and returned half to the treasury. Now look, obviously the previous office holder was an evil white man, and evil white men are racist, so Christina Peterson definitely did not retain the idea that you're going to take half of the fees and return the other half to the treasury. She ended up taking all the fees. On top of that, she actually got the city council in this particular area to approve a pay increase for her specifically based on the argument that she is a black woman. I'm sorry, based on the argument that she's an attorney, therefore she is super qualified for this particular case. Also, I need to mention to you guys that she actually never acted as a judge in any capacity and had zero experience for this particular role. So when all is said and done for this particular woman, what she ended up making when she started at $96,000, when you add up all the fees and the pay increase, was, over $250,000.
Now, that's not sufficient for the increased judicial responsibilities that I will have to have, including jury trials.
She requested a personal salary of $175,000 a year, nearly double Hamrick's salary, plus an extra $344,000 to hire five additional staff. Peterson's appearance came the week after a Fox 5 iTeam investigation revealed Douglas County was already facing a $1.2 million budget shortfall. At least one of the five commissioners, Kelly Robinson, said he favored giving Peterson the money.
I'm very concerned. I don't know how they have the money.
So apparently that over $250,000 salary for this particular judge, for this particular low-tier judicial system, is actually more than the Georgia Supreme Court justices make in their position, making her the highest paid judge in the area. By the way, on top of that, a probate judge from a neighboring county actually starts off at a lower base salary of around $80,000, and that is a white woman. So this woman's pocketing about $250,000 a year. But that is just the tip of the iceberg, because remember what I said about her being unqualified, entitled, and willing to deflect everything onto sex and gender in order to avoid consequences?
Well, I don't want to hear about it anymore.
While running for probate judge in 2020, Christina Peterson posted a satirical, sometimes sexually graphic video of her playing a white man giving dating advice to a black woman.
Well, we should also add, vicious racist who hates the idea of anyone who is a non-black woman dating a black man. And a perfect example of this is what she did to this Asian immigrant, I forget the country, I want to say Thailand, who was married to a black man when she wanted to amend her marriage license.
I just don't have a memories of my dad. I don't know who he is.
These are the first public comments from PJ Skelton, the Henry County woman thrown in jail by probate judge Christina Peterson in 2021. Skelton had written her uncle's name on the original 2016 marriage certificate, where it asked for her father, because her uncle is the one who raised her.
It's really sensitive to talk about him or how I grew up.
But she testified when her Thai mother applied for a green card, Skelton dug up her birth certificate and read her birth father's name. She filed paperwork to change her marriage license just in case it was an issue.
Now, for those of you who are rookies in the marriage department, for those of you who don't know what's up, when you fill out your marriage license, there actually is a section where you're supposed to put your parents on said license. Now, in this particular case, this Asian woman who you're about to hear from in just a little bit actually ended up putting her uncle on said marriage license because that was the person that raised her, and she did not know the name of her father. Well, throughout the course of events, you know how life works, she ended up discovering the name of her father. And like many an Asian person, she happened to be very detail-oriented. Yeah, that's a little stereotypical, but relax, it's comedy, everybody. So she decided that she was going to file to amend her marriage license petition, and of course, this woman, who has viciously anti-interracial dating social media posts, decided it would be appropriate to jail her. She held her in contempt of court. She was going to do it for 20 days, but luckily her husband ended up bailing her out after two based on her trying to amend her marriage license so it would be more correct. That's what this judge did. She did that because she was married to a black man, and she doesn't like black men dating outside their race.
Instead, Peterson told her to come to court,
then ordered her jailed 48 hours and fined $500 for contempt.
Now look, I appreciate the local news for following the story for months and months. Local news reporters actually do a really good job with local government, and since a lot of corruption happens in the shadows and people don't pay attention to the local government, it is important to value them, but I do not like the way they phrase that in that particular segment. Amending your marriage license by mail is a normal process. It should not have required a court appearance. This woman, this judge, this unqualified monster who is abusing her power, who hates interracial couples, brought her into the courthouse for the sole purpose of holding her in contempt because she was married to a black man and she didn't like that. Again, see her various multiple social media posts to that effect on interracial dating.
Then ordered her jailed 48 hours.
On top of that, they say they jailed her for 48 hours for contempt, but that is not actually true. She was jailed for 20 days for contempt. They just ended up being able to pay the fee after 2 days. So this woman would have spent 20 days in jail in contempt of court, paid a $500 fine to the judge because the judge didn't like that a black man was dating an Asian woman. That is what is going down right here. That is what her social media posts indicate. This is totally out of bounds. And at some point in time, the judge just admitted, yeah, that was kind of unnecessarily cruel for me to do, but you know, I did it and I should maintain my position. Also, I need a raise. And as Anna Kasparian once faithfully said, give me the money.
Now, that's not sufficient for the increased judicial responsibilities that I will have to have, including jury trials.
Give me the money. Give me the money. Okay.
Did you go to this hearing with any idea that you may be going to jail?
No.
She said Peterson never told her she might need an attorney in court. Okay. A fact that seemed particularly troubling for JQC hearing panel member Robert McBurney.
Did she say that you could go get one if you needed one? Or she just asked if one was with you?
Jesus, one was with me.
Now look, I want to really emphasize what that person on the panel said right there and how crucial it is. A court is an adversarial process. You should be offered an attorney or the chance to obtain an attorney if you are going to face these kind of severe criminal-like consequences. But typically, in these probate court situations, an attorney isn't needed because most of what people are dealing with are uncomplicated cases that you don't need to worry about. Again, a probate judge goes over wills. A probate judge goes over birth certificates, marriage licenses. It is not supposed to be that complicated. It is not supposed to be that overconvoluted. And considering this woman has no experience as a judge, the fact that she abused her power in this way should be surprising to no one. And by the way, this is just the tip of the iceberg.
The others involve her decision to ignore the sheriff's office orders and conduct an after-hours wedding inside the courthouse without going through security checks.
So yeah, that whole wedding thing right there might seem like it's not that unusual, but let me break it down for you so you can understand exactly what went wrong. Because I did say earlier on that she deals with marriage licenses. Of course, as long as they're not interracial marriage, then you're going to jail if you happen to marry a black man. How dare you? But in that particular case, she actually asked the sheriff's department if she could use the courthouse for a wedding for her friends because she wanted to be the officiant and all that. I'm sure she wanted to charge it to the taxpayers rather than, you know, actually have them pay for their own damn wedding. And as somebody who's paying the entirety of the cost for my wedding, I find that particularly offensive. And the sheriff's department said, look, you can do that, but we have to run the normal ordinary screening that we would do for safety reasons for people who enter the courthouse. So of course the judge said, okay, don't worry about it. I got you. We're on board for this. We're going to do your regular screening. Wink, wink, no big deal. And she told him that she would be in at the normal early morning time that she comes in the office in order to do her job. However, she didn't show up. She was not there. So the sheriffs decided that they were going to close up the courthouse and leave for the day because they assumed that there was some kind of miscommunication. The judge comes hours later, opens the courthouse herself, and lets all of these people in unscreened.
You cannot go in this building, and eventually she went in.
The sheriff's office said Peterson ignored their orders and held a wedding after hours, allowing people inside without deputies present.
And there's actually a bunch of different local news reports where the sheriff talks about how criminals could have access to the courtroom, they could plant firearms or other kinds of weapons if they knew somebody, or they could just leave something inadvertently that could be discovered by a criminal, and that could lead to devastating consequences. That's what this judge did because she wanted her friends to be able to get married in the courthouse without the trouble of going through the security of the courthouse. By the way, they weren't paying for the wedding at the courthouse.
And a series of questionable social media posts, some promoting her part-time acting career.
Now, that particular video right there that they're not playing for you, but they're showing you the screenshot of, is the video where she was pretending to be a white man and crapping on interracial relationships and interracial marriages. This is what led me to believe that later down the line in the future, that's why she decided to strike against that Asian woman for a simple amending of the marriage license that, of course, is based on logical situations that people, especially of immigrant backgrounds, often find themselves in. That's what she was mad about right there. And of course, we have her using her position to promote her part-time acting career because, of course, this woman wants to be a star. All of these super officials, although she's not a super judge just yet, want to be a superstar in that way. So they're using taxpayer dollars and taxpayer websites in order to promote herself. And I'm not sure if they're going to go over it in this particular video. If I find the clip, I will sprinkle it in right here. But she also used her position as a judge-elect in order to solicit direct donations from people. And by the way, this is a woman who would make over the amount that a Supreme Court justice in the state of Georgia makes, $250,000+, and she's soliciting Cash App donations.
She once hit a panic button when a deputy was late escorting her to court, causing a temporary panic among security. And when county staff criticized her actions, it quickly triggers allegations of obstructionism or even racism. These communications and actions reveal a judge who publicly vilifies colleagues, is quick to threaten them with unnecessary legal action, and generally projects a spiteful and vainglorious persona.
I'm the first African-American female and Democrat. Yes. I was never celebrated or congratulated. On my day of swearing in, I was sworn in by Judge Emerson. I received my first JQC complaint.
Listen, I'm not somebody who's afraid to talk about racial issues in the United States of America, but to be clear, if we're in a situation where we're talking about a black person, a black woman, I don't bring it up based on nothing. I don't just mention it for those of you out there in the audience in order to be like, wow, look at what black people in the United States of America are doing. But the thing is, she mentioned it. That is a hearing where they're going over multiple different various allegations of corruption, and she's fake crying, or maybe real crying, who the hell knows, about how she wasn't celebrated hard enough for her achievement of being a black woman in this position, and of course profiting immensely off of it because she's a black woman and people were afraid of her, and that's treated like it's supposed to be normal. That is treated like it is a sensible thing to do when she's on trial for her judicial career.
Another hearing officer, Richard Hyde, suggested some of the criticism against Peterson could involve the fact that, unlike her predecessor, she chose to keep all birth and death certificate fees in addition to her salary. She was asked how much in outside fees she's pocketed so far since she took office.
I don't know. No, I'm just trying to understand. Like, I would have prepared that if I would have known that I was in my charge with some type.
I get to ask questions.
Okay. Thank you.
So yes, it is a lot of money. You have the $96,000 plus around $30,000 in the extra money that they appropriated for her. And somehow she's at $250,000 a year. Obviously, we're talking about in and around the range that the judge asked. But notice how she completely didn't answer the question. And by the way, notice the intentiveness of the real judge where he looks at her, notices her looking out to the gallery. And he's like, are you trying to find the answer out there? Absolutely love it. You could tell that she is trying the judge's patience. But yes, I'm doing comedy up in here. It's the most amazing thing ever. And he is not having it. And by the way, didn't answer the question in that exchange. He was like, okay, let me get the napkin right here. Because this is, of course, what we do in the United States of America. We have people elected to positions of power. They use identity as their qualifications, identity to produce more income for themselves. And then when you ask them to account for their basic actions, no go. You're an evil white racist. Shut up with your evil white racism.
She never answered the question, but according to county payroll records we reviewed, Judge Peterson kept all $140,000 in fees each year for 2021 and 2022. Judges rarely do that in Georgia, but it is legal. That pushed her total compensation to $265,000 a year, one of the highest paid judges in all of Georgia. And Russ and Courtney, by comparison, Georgia's chief Supreme Court justice made $216,000 last year, so about $50,000 less than this probate court judge.
So it's actually not quite $400,000. I apologize to everybody out there in the audience for reporting that it's in and around that amount. It's only $280,000, and she's only making over $250,000, as I told you earlier, and about $40,000 more than the Chief Justice of the Georgia Supreme Court. I forgot about the position of Chief Justice. I forgot that that position would be paid more, so I didn't mention that specifically. But yeah, this woman makes more than your congressman. This woman makes more than a bunch of different officials in the state of Georgia, because she deserves it, because she's somebody who had zero judicial experience, and she complained and whined about the fact that when she got to this particular position, she was being compensated at the level that is compensated for this particular position. And if you have any objection to it, guess what? Shut your face, white people. You're evil, white, and racist with your evil white racism. But wait! There is in fact more, because there's always more, and we gotta get into the additional things that I discovered through the research of this particular case.
Such a hasty and shockingly disproportionate reaction is the hallmark of Peterson's intemperance, wrote the panel.
But first of all, I do love the fact that this particular board said this woman took no accountability during the course of these hearings, so we're gonna admonish her for that. How dare she? 30 different counts of judicial misconduct and no responsibility taken for that. Unsurprising, because she's been trying to hide behind her identity this whole entire time.
The report criticized Peterson's attempt at this meeting to get her HOA board to settle a lawsuit she had filed, even though she knew the HOA was represented by an attorney.
Yeah, so essentially Peterson had a dispute with her homeowners association. She decided that she was going to file a lawsuit against them, and this is how she acted at a meeting, trying to threaten them because she's a judge in order to settle said lawsuit. This is what she did with her authority, not only abusing her power and locking up that woman for daring to love and marry a black man, she also threatens to dismiss their lawsuits and make trouble for them in the court because she's a judge and she could do whatever she wants. Obviously, why would you stop at just making more money than the Chief Justice of the Georgia Supreme Court? Why would you stop after you got away with that? Just keep escalating the behavior, because that's what a lot of these people do that get into these positions and have used the shield of their identity their whole lives. Not just being a minority or being a woman or being the combination of the two, but constantly being able to skirt consequences by using that to deflect all criticism. You end up being emboldened and you do things like this.
Peterson's attempts to avoid responsibility for these clear violations bordered on the farcical, severely eroding her credibility with the hearing panel.
So I love the scorn in this particular document. They're saying that her violations bordered on the farcical. Like, it's a farce. It's ridiculous. Like, they can't even imagine what they're reading to be a possibility for a judge, yet it's true. That's why they found her guilty of these 30 counts. Insane.
Peterson's main defense was her inexperience as a judge, a problem she promised has been addressed through additional training. But the panel was not buying it.
So they also found that in her pattern of misconduct, that she's spiteful, nasty, invokes racism all the time. And again, bravo to this judicial panel for reviewing this woman's actions and putting this down on paper. I think I'm going to print this out and staple it to my very real, very authentic brick wall back there, because, you know, it's just sometimes you see something like this and you want to preserve it. It should be in the history books how insane this woman is. And again, she already got away with guilting them into giving her a pay increase. She already got away with changing the precedent of pocketing only half the fees that she could have potentially pocketed to all of the fees. She already got away with making more money than the Chief Justice of the Georgia Supreme Court. But she had to take it even further in all these different regards.
The report also cited multiple examples of failure to actually do her job, needlessly delaying petitions before her office. The hearing panel said Peterson was guilty of systemic incompetence. Judges are expected to act in a manner that promoted the integrity and impartiality of the judiciary. Respondent has shown that she cannot or will not do so. And so
She must go.
Now, to add insult on top of incredible insult to our intelligence, she's also not doing her job. She is a judge, again, a low-tier judge that is only supposed to adjudicate birth certificates, marriage licenses, will stuff, and whatnot, only around 600 cases a year compared to the sometimes 10,000 for these higher-level judges. And she's not even doing that. She's needlessly delaying it. She's not participating in her job. And this is all while she's getting paid, need I remind you, more money than the Chief Justice of the Georgia Supreme Court. So she can't even do her damn job, even though she's getting all this compensation. And possibly that's the most insulting part, if I'm being perfectly honest, but I just want to sprinkle in a few things in addition to that. Apparently she also represented a group of people who ended up winning a settlement, and unlike a lawyer typically does, she just kept the settlement. She just took the $70,000+ that she won on behalf of her clients, put it in her pocket, and there was kind of nothing that they could do about it. So she's a thief in that particular regard. And apparently when they examined her credit cards, because of course, why would you expect somebody who makes more money than almost any judge in the state of Georgia, more than the Chief Justice of the Georgia Supreme Court, to pay for her own bills? She was charging her personal bills to the county credit card. She was paying her car insurance with the county credit card, because you, the taxpayers, who are already, again, paying her over $250,000. Did I mention that there was a budget deficit in this county before, you know, when they gave her the pay increase? There was a budget deficit? Well, in case I didn't mention that, they were struggling with the budget before, and she's charging her car insurance while she makes more money, while she's not even showing up to work. She needed you to pay for the insurance for her car, the one that she was not driving to do her job, because she's that entitled. And again, her response was to cry and talk about how she was not celebrated for being a black woman and a Democrat. This is the reality that you live in. This is what happens when you prioritize identity over everything. She was elected in 2020, the year of George Floyd. They wanted to get rid of that stinky, smelly, evil, old white man who is probably an evil white racist, replace her with a stunning, beautiful, and brave black woman. And they ended up getting robbed by said woman. Again, $250,000+, $265,000 that she pocketed from the taxpayer for being somebody with no judicial experience at a low-tier position where she didn't even show up for her job. Insane. Madness in every possible way. But you know what? Those are just my thoughts. I want to know what you guys think down in the comments below. Now, as per usual, if you like this video, you can show them by leaving a like. You can subscribe for more content. You can follow me on all my social medias. You can support me via the support links in the description of this video. This has been me talking about one of the greatest judicial misconduct stories I have ever seen. Till next time.